In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Surely you've heard the phrase, don't burn your bridges. I remember my mother telling me that one. And usually in life, we are told not to burn our bridges. This is good advice, you know. Say you finally decide you've had enough and you're going to quit the job that you hate, and so you're going to tell the boss exactly what you think about him. And then you remember you actually need a reference from him to get a new job. It's also usually not a good idea to break up with someone over a text. That's burning some bridges as well. Any other number of examples, we all personally know them. So don't burn your bridges is good advice for most things in the world, but not really for the world of faith. When it comes to leaving an old life behind, leaving sin behind, and embarking on a renewed and more intimate relationship with God, I'm going to go against all worldly advice and tell you plainly, burn the bridge, burn it down, light it up, go all in, and don't look back. In the gospel, we have the example of the widow. We've heard of the widow's mite. She's depositing a donation into the temple treasury. Everyone else, Jesus points out, is giving to God from what's left over, their surplus. There was no sacrifice for them. It didn't cost them anything. And so this widow hardly has anything at all, and she has two coins. Surely, first of all, God wouldn't expect anything from her. She could have kept even one coin back, right? And yet, she threw them both in. She was all in. She completely trusts in God. And understand here, Jesus is not talking about money. He's talking about faith and trust and love of God. Recall when the Israelites left slavery in Egypt. You can read all about it in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. What did they say? Do you remember? Well, first of all, God burned the bridge for them. As he took them through the Red Sea, he closed up the water behind them, saying, don't go back to your slavery in Egypt. Don't go back. Then you remember? You know, a few days go by, a week or so, and they get hungry, they're thirsty, and it's hot. It's a desert, right? And even though God gave them water from the rock, all they wanted, he gave them manna from heaven every day, and even quail, so they would have meat to eat. They complained against God and Moses, and they said, quote, we are tired of this wretched food. Tired of a gift from God. Tired of this wretched food. And then they began, it says, to think back. They remembered, they said, the fish they ate in Egypt. They sat beside their flesh pots, they called them, and they thought about the melons and the cucumbers and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They overlooked the fact that they never enjoyed any of those things if they had them at all because they were not considered human beings. They were the property of Pharaoh. They were slaves of the king of Egypt. It was not an enjoyable existence. But you know, too often we do this, right? We look back to a past. Now, maybe we've decided, you know, I'm going to get this, I'm going to follow the Lord. And yet, we keep our connection and our thoughts, just like the Israelites, back to a time that was past. And we keep that little bridge well maintained, right? That little connection to our past. And we think about it with some fondness. We might even harbor doubts about our faith at all, faith in God. But then we never do anything to find the answers. We don't even go to pray more, knowing that will help put the doubts to rest. Why? Because as long as we allow ourselves to keep sailing in that sea of doubts, then we sort of feel justified to commit sins, old and new. We keep that little ship tethered so we can take a little sail back in doubt every so often and do what we want. Far too often in our faith, we only give God part of ourselves. Maybe we think we're giving most. Here, Lord, I'm going to give you my heart, just not the lower right chamber. I'm going to keep the left ventricle for myself, right? We can't do this with any relationship. Can you imagine only a spouse giving part of him or herself? A parent that doesn't give him or herself completely to the child? We give God from our excess often, from our surplus, something that's not going to make a sacrifice. We'll pray to him when or if we think we have time. We'll come to worship, but you know, just the minimum. An hour is sufficient. And it's even better if Father's homily is short, right? And so instead of diving in, jumping in the deep end, we just stick a toe in the shallow part and wade in ever so close, but not too far. We don't want to go in over our heads, right? That's not the way to live faith. That's not love. We mentioned last week, love is gratuitous. Love does things we don't understand. Faith comes from love that we have for God who made us. So what are we afraid of when it comes to God who made us? Are we afraid that we might lose ourselves, lose our personal freedom if we give ourselves completely to God? Now today it seems especially that we can't commit, right? We have a commitment problem. We can't commit to a job, can't commit to a spouse, a friendship, or even to God. We're often so turned in upon ourselves because we are afraid of losing what we think of as personal freedom. And God in particular seems to be the enemy of our personal freedom, but it affects all of our relationships, right? The enemy of freedom is not commitment. The real enemy of freedom is the inability to commit. The greatest enslavement of all is to the self. The saddest people are the ones who are so obsessed with remaining free that they will never commit to anyone or anything. They parcel out their lives in a stingy and miserly way, making sure that although they give piecemeal here, a little bit over there, they never actually invest, give, or commit themselves. They become obsessed with measuring and examining everything to make sure that it doesn't demand too much of me. Everything is measured according to my own idea of personal autonomy, my freedom. And as a result, they live a very narrow existence. In trying to save their own lives, they lose it and lose sight of everything. How much can I measure out? What's the bare minimum I can give? They will never know freedom or happiness or joy because they refuse to bind themselves, to commit themselves. They refuse to go all in. We know that no one is more free than God. God is the most free. And God's freedom is not somehow curtailed by his binding himself to us at the incarnation, or even more extraordinarily, continuing to bind himself to us in the most holy Eucharist, to come to the altar at the words of the priest, to be confined under the appearance of bread and wine. That is commitment, God's commitment to you and me. And in all of that, he remains completely free. So ask yourself today, what am I holding back? Honestly, what am I holding back? What am I really trying to preserve for me? And so I tell you, with your relationship with God and your past, burn your bridges to your former life of sin. Scuttle the ships that you use to sail back into that sea of doubt. Throw everything you have into the ring and free yourself. Lose your life in Christ, so that you may find it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.